This is RSBNB Update, episode 532, recorded Thursday, August 27th, 2015. The Sentient Socks. Hello, everybody. This is RSBNB Update coming into your earballs once again. Joining Earth and myself this week is Draz from Clan Quest. Welcome.
Hey. Again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it is Quest Week after all, so we thought might as well just repeat what we did. During the last Dragon King.
I'll try not to have as many complaints.
Well, I don't think there's major issues with this quest. We'll talk about that. And of course, Earth.
Hello.
Have you recovered?
From?
The quest.
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. Good, good, good. And that quest, everyone, is within the light. I'm sorry. I screwed that up not even a minute in. The light within.
Yeah, I messed that up so much.
That's going to be a problem throughout the recording of this.
It will be the light within. The light within is the quest. All right. So requirements off the bat. Plague's End, Meeting History, World Wakes, Fate of the Gods, and Templates and Tistin, along with a whole bunch of 80 skills, including Agility, Divination, Prayer, Woodcutting, Crafting, Herblore, and Slayer. Pretty straightforward requirements. Given what we see and do in the quest, I think the 80 divination one was the hard one for some of us here.
Yes.
But that's over now, so you're good, right?
Yes.
And quests that have 80 plus requirements are indeed rare. So, we start this quest by just having the idea that, we're going to put Saren back together again. So I'll hand it over to you two to take us through a brief rundown of what we end up doing in this quest.
You want me to?
Please.
Sure, you do it.
Okay, so we start off with, we're talking to Alunid, or however that name is said, in Thethinus.
Yep,
and there's an earthquake, and oh my goodness, the city is coming apart, and it's a huge issue. So we go to the Tower of Voices and meet with the Elven Council. You wanted to say anything there?
No.
Yeah, and I mean, it stopped once you changed. Once you went to the next piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing.
Right. Well, and I think the reasoning behind why the earthquake was happening was that the pieces of Saren are spread out throughout the city. They use crystal to build the city. And so they're trying to come back together, and that's what's causing the shake. Am I right?
Yes.
I think it was just they wanted to have the camera angle shake, but whatever. So we go to the council meeting, and they're all discussing the fact that should we bring Saren back or should we not, and there's an argument about whether or not we should honor her sacrifice, etc. And then we basically get to decide if we're going to bring her back or not. What did you guys do?
I said yes.
I said yes as well, because I thought, okay, if you say no, this is going to be
sure.
I mean, no point in having
a
quest, right?
Like, what did you say?
I said yes as well.
I
know.
Presumably, it would just continue on.
Yeah, the different leaders would vote differently. How you would then be brought into it, I don't know, but whatever. So, in this case, we say, yes, we're going to bring her back, and then there's a discussion of how do we do that? So, they suggest through the conversation that maybe the enchanted key, which allows us to go back in time, would allow us to go back and look at how to go about rebuilding Saren. So that's what we do. So we have to follow the enchanted key. I don't know about you guys, but I was like 99% certain where was that, and just instantly teleported there and was lucky.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
So we basically go to Guthix cave, and we go back in time, and we meet Guthix, or Guthix, I'm sorry. And then we have a little bit of a discussion with him. He discusses the enchanted key, the Saren, his plan of, it's basically right after he made the edicts of Guthix, I believe.
Yeah, right before he was going to banish everyone.
Right. And then he says, oh, somebody's listening to us. So you walk up and you find Halluned, which is Halluned's twin. Coincidentally, that is the antagonist from Plague's End, correct? Or not Plague's End.
The entire thing, really. The Dark Lord.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Right. So, yeah.
Did we realize that beforehand, or was that revealed in this quest?
We do know that that is known.
Yes.
But from this quest or previously?
No, from previous quests.
Okay.
We knew that Halluned was the Dark Lord, and we knew that she was part of Saren.
All right.
Okay. Well, I missed that.
Yeah. Okay. So then from there, we talk to Guthix. He says we basically need to find all major shards of her, and that we've got to find a old elf who can then teach us the song that we would need in order to reconstruct her. And that's basically Guthix tells us. I keep saying Guthix. Sorry to the listeners who have no idea what I'm saying. And then from there, we teleport back to the present and return to the Tower of Voices to discuss our findings with the council leaders. Now, from here, this was without a guide, this was actually, I thought, a little bit difficult.
Really?
I did, yeah. The going around and finding that.
Finding what?
The shards, finding the major shards. It wasn't hard. I think it's the only difficult part in the quest, though.
I guess.
So we basically have to go find the shards of Saren, which back when she split herself were split amongst, there are 8 clans, obviously, but they were split between 4 of them. So the military clan, the naturalist clan, the spiritualist clans. I don't even remember what they are. What was the last one? Doesn't matter though. So
I don't know.
Artisan or something? No, artisan, yeah. So I'm reading it up here. And so basically we go around and we find the different shards, and the process about going through that really, I think, was the meat of the content of the story.
But it really was.
Yeah. Once we do that, we return to Tower of Voices. We have our shards. There's a cutscene. And that's when we get... Now, I have a question for you guys. We had to go find the pieces of the song.
Yes.
What was the point of that? It felt like it just was given to you as you went through the storyline, right?
It was.
Yeah, except for the last piece. The last piece on the Elven homeworld. That one was a little bit interesting for me. I was running around.
I got
there.
It as soon as I turned the things in.
Yeah, see, right. I was running around for a good 25 minutes or so, because it turns out my weapons were not sheathed when I talked to her.
Right.
Figure that out. But, yeah.
Once you've got the 4 major shards, you go back to the tower, and the council says, well, the Dark Lord, Halluned, who we now know is the twin of Halluned, and because we talked to Guthix, we know that they're parts of Saren. So we have to go figure out if the Dark Lord left anything behind. So we go to check it out back in the Grand Library. And we get to decide if we're going to put the dark part of Saren in. Did you guys put dark part in?
Yes.
I did not.
Ooh, why not?
Well, I mean, it's obviously the dark part. And I thought, okay, we've been down this road before. We've seen what the darkness can do in terms of Pristiness and whatnot. So I thought, if we're rebuilding this city and we're looking forward as to not repeating the mistakes from the past, I thought, let's just not put any darkness in.
Okay. Yeah, I added it because I figured a little bit of darkness, make sure that She stays grounded.
Anyway.
So how
does that work, though?
I mean, you can't have all light. You got to have a little bit of darkness. Yin and Yang have got a white and a black dot, and then dry, right?
I guess. And I mean, some of us have more darkness than the others, but it just didn't feel like it was a necessary requirement, given everything from Plague's End and before.
If Zeros is there, do we want him to be absolute bad or absolute darkness, I guess would be the correct term, and have no possible light?
That's something I'd like to talk about later, actually.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later. But, okay, so once we've got those shards and we decide if we're going to go get the Dark Shard, then we go back to the Tower Voices, and from there, we realize, oh, we don't have enough crystals, so we need to go to, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. What is it, Tardiad, something like that?
Something like that. So, close enough.
Yes, yeah. Tardiad.
This quest irritated me immensely because I felt like it didn't assist with the flow of the story, and it really didn't even introduce the new content.
No, it was just there.
It was just for releasing of a world for the purposes of using the world gate, which is not a reason to use the world gate. So I was there, and we had to mine for 30 freaking minutes in order to get shards for enough crystal fragments so that we could turn them into the full crystals so that we can use it to rebuild Saren.
I found the fishing and wood cutting actually a lot faster than the mining.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Well, you are a very intelligent person to have tried the multiple options. Plus, I needed mining XP. Yay.
It's good XP. I'll give it that.
Not bad. I haven't really gone back to look at it because I've been busy since I finished the quest. But you can turn those in to get crystals for producing of weapons and armor, right?
Yes, armor.
It's level 80 hybrid armor after quest. And I think, what'd you say it was? 15,000 shards or something? And 5,000 crystals. So.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to be there for quite some time if you want that level 80 hybrid armor.
Yeah, like, that's getting more than 99. Yeah, I don't got time for that. Even if I had time for that, that would end up pushing me past my skill caps. Anyway, so we bring all of our new crystals to the tower, and at this point we get to decide if we're going to put Alunid in, right? Or was that earlier?
I think that was earlier.
Well,
I think that was earlier before you went. No, not yet.
Well, so we try and rebuild her, and there's a cutscene, and apparently her soul is broken as well as her body, so we need to restore her soul. So the suggestion is to go to Frenesky, right?
Right, but is that how we say that? Before we did that, we need to talk about whether or not Alunid actually went into our versions of Saren.
True. So, yeah. So,
no.
Did you guys? I didn't.
I did not.
I did.
Asshole.
I knew that would provoke a response from you like that.
Is that why you did that, Shane?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Just because you knew I would call you an asshole?
No, I did it because I thought, I mean, we're trying to obviously rebuild Saren, and like I said previously, I know what's good and I know what's bad. So I thought, okay, so if this was a part of Saren before and part of the good side of Saren, why not put it back in?
I didn't put her in, and I figured that any god who took another person's life to rebuild themselves wasn't a god worth worshiping.
Ooh.
That's interesting. And for what it's worth...
I just didn't, because I didn't really feel the need to kill off a character, and I was like 99% sure that if I didn't, I wouldn't fail the quest.
Yeah. And for what it's worth... with this, I spent a good 5 minutes deliberating on this decision.
Sure. Oh, yeah, no. And it don't misunderstand me. I you know, play the game however you want. I just, from my perspective, I was like, I don't want to get rid of an NPC if I can help it. Then I got to learn another name for the NPC that replaces them, and I just effort.
All right. So,
but then that really does. Well, no, we still got a puzzle, but that concluded the actual. I felt like the gameplay of the rest of the quest. The rest of it was just
yes.
Because from there you go to the Frenis guy.
Oh, so Elunet's left anyway, by the way.
Oh, okay. Oh. So you went to check the crystal bowl singing thing.
Uh-huh. And replaced by Isselwyn.
So where did she go?
She gives you a letter. And now that Saren has returned, I know... longer feel tied to Priftinus or Gilinor, thoughts returning constantly to Tardia, and blah blah blah. She went to that place.
Right. Okay. So we return to Frenisgay. Zaro shows up because it was a bad idea for you to bring this broken body to a place where everything's trying to kill you. Ha ha! Logic. So he takes us.
I was just running around like. I mean, I was doing a live stream of it, and I was just running around like, okay, why? All right, let's just run away. Why can't I just put her on the ground and kill these things?
Yeah. But so he basically makes us promise that we won't tell Saren that he was there, and then takes us to the Elder Hall, where we then have to solve a puzzle, which...
All right, is it just me, or was the puzzle dumb? Like, it seemed more like, I guess, busy work?
Yeah, it wasn't, the first, it took me a second to figure out what we were doing, but once I figured it out, I'd say it probably took me 5-10 minutes to figure out the first one, but then the second and the third set took me no time at all. So,
yeah,
total
I was
less,
just like,
probably less than 10 minutes. So, yeah, but then we're done with that. And Saren's rebuilt, and then we have a whole conversation with her, and then she says, let's not hang out here in this horrible place. Let's go back. And then you can talk to her in the Tower Voices. And she, I don't know, she basically said she was going to be a servant of the people and not the god.
Right. That's true.
So, and there's a lot of dialogue that you can discuss with her post-quest, which has a lot of lore implications that are kind of fun. And throughout the quest, there was a lot of, I felt like this quest had a lot of memory requirements. You had to really remember a lot of things in the past 9 quests prior to this one in order to be able to do it, looking up who was so-and-so and where certain things were at, because it really did reference NPCs and characters and places and stuff like that.
Very obscure, like some of them I had not heard of, like
Like Halunet and Elunet, which are both people. Really, we knew about that, but like you guys didn't remember that they're twins. And do we know that they were the Dark Lord? Yes, we technically we did, but like it's that concept of having to remember what happened a long time ago. And to realistically go through and play this, there was a lot of times where I was just having to look things up. Or I was
same here.
Yeah, but I got questions for you guys about the lore.
Okay.
We're ready for that. Oh, rewards. Let's do
let's do rewards. That's good. So 2 quest points, which I guess is good for something like this, right?
Who cares about quest points?
Okay. 90,000 XP in agility, crafting, herblore, prayer, slayer, woodcutting, and divination.
Oh boy.
Yes, please.
I got an herblore level from this.
Oh, good. I thought you'd be more happy about the divination ones.
Meh.
Are you done
with
that?
If I ever have to train that skill again, I might literally die.
Anyways, of course, what everyone was waiting for, the ancient spells and curses, they have all shipped into game as have been, you know, previewed on various live streams before. Not much to write home about here, but now that they're here, what do you guys think? I don't think they're nearly as overpowered as people thought they were going to be.
They don't even seem to do anything.
Yeah, they're. I would almost describe them as entirely useless.
Yeah.
They're.
Yeah. Like, let me give you an example with the rapid growth one. Because, okay, in theory, this sounds good, right? Skip a phase on a tree or a Calquit or herb or something like that, right? But
yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're doing fruit trees or magic trees, the growth cycle for a wooden tree is only 40 minutes. So, okay, you're going to save 40 minutes off the growth cycle. Who cares?
You would be absolutely apeshit about that, Shane.
Well, no, and here's
why. Seems like something you'd be very excited about.
It could be potentially good for the fruit trees, but the fruit tree cycles are 160 minutes each, so 2 hours, 40 minutes. And if you skip one cycle, it still takes it down to about a 13-hour growth period, so you can't squeeze another one in the day unless we add more hours to the day. So there's that. So the only reason to use the rapid growth on the trees is to reduce the chance of them getting diseased, because they have a chance at each growth phase to get diseased. So if you can take that down by one, you have less chance of getting diseased. So for me, that's the only reason see to use this on the trees.
If it instant grew it, then that would be a good thing.
Yeah, but that would be overpowered.
So
we don't want to devalue farming. There are people out there.
Oh no, we can't devalue farming.
Who have a great appreciation for the skill.
Devalue farming.
It would.
That would just make faster XP rate.
Yeah, but I mean, so in theory, then you would be able to do.
What's the true benefit of farming?
Behind rapid growth?
No. The true benefit of farming as a skill from a moneymaker use of in game. Like, it's herb running and stuff. Generally,
yeah,
money,
yeah.
You're not making money off of, you know, papaya trees.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I want farming to be one of the skills that's somewhat different and somewhat still a little bit more difficult in game than everything else. I mean, remember the good old days of RS Classic when it was nearly impossible to get a 99? I think the next skills that come into the game need to be that hard again.
Right.
Anyways, that's just my little rant on that. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. These are not that decent. Okay, Crystal Mask, that might be good for lower-level thieving. So that one is probably the best one of the bunch of the spells. Crystallize, 1.5 times the XP for mining, fishing, or woodcutting spots, and full box traps. So imagine going to, say, the skill chompas and just getting so much more XP from doing those. Tons of Hunter XP coming in. So Crystallize and Crystal Mask, I'd say, are the two main ones you want to look at here in terms of spells.
Right.
Prayers, the one that I think that's going to be used the most is the Chronicle Absorption one, which absorbs the Chronicles while training Divination for more Divination XP.
If you try and use it... It drains your prayer so fast, and you don't, like, get fragments. I don't think it's...
Yeah, it's 0.6 per second. Yeah.
And you don't get fragments that come off. It's not like they come every 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's like you just click it whenever it comes up. It's like every 10 minutes, right?
It's 10 an hour.
Okay.
So, in essence, you're talking once every 6 minutes, which... That's, you're talking like two prayer pots. Even if you were doing that with full proselyte or however the hell that word said, and, you know, had max prayer bonus, you still wouldn't get the benefits of that prayer. That's going to have to be changed.
Otherwise, it's dead content on release.
Exactly. Because I was training it and you can't use it. It's just not usable.
Yeah. Okay. Light form and dark form double the chance of Saren and Zaros spells effects respectively of occurring when using abilities. So for the Zaros ones, I mean, that's how fast you heal when you're using the blood spells, or how much you freeze someone. So maybe? What do you guys think?
Possibly.
I don't know. But does maybe... Does it stack with what?
Soul split.
Well, you can use Soul Split at the same time.
Let me see. Okay, Soul Split and what?
Dark Form.
Yes, you can use them both.
What's the prayer loss per second?
It's going to be pretty high.
Start now.
Okay.
Tell me when. Lost 50.
Oh my, wow. So 50 in about 3 seconds.
Yeah, and that's out of like 950, not like almost half of the max.
So you're losing 16 per second then.
Something like that, yes.
Well, on certain content, especially high-level content where you need soul split to be double as effective, that's pretty spectacular. I'm sure that will be used, but I don't know.
No. It's spell effects, not curse effects.
Well, then what the heck?
like I said, if you were using Blood Barrage or something, you'd have a higher you'd have chance of that healing proc occurring more often. So...
Hmm.
Soul Link, I think that's also another potentially good one for the PVM crowd, equally sharing all damage and healing with another player when using the effect.
Yay.
Teamwork protection. Okay, everyone else though has other interesting prayers you can use, because this one does not work with turmoil and whatnot, so it's either got to be teamwork protection or turmoil, or those three. So you're kind of limited in that regard, so I don't know if this is going to end up happening either. But at the end of the day, these spells and curses are not overpowered, and I think that's okay.
Like they don't really do anything.
Yeah, because going in, I had this fear that these spells and curses would essentially pristinicize the rest of the game world. If I can use that as a verb.
You can.
Yeah. So I'm happy with that regard. But I was also looking at just, you know, using the rapid growth one for my daily farming runs just to reduce the chance of being diseased. But it's an extra 20k GP to cast it on all of my patches combined.
20 hold K. Wow, Shane.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have a reliable supply of soul runes nowadays, because that's where, or that's the main rune you're using here, so...
Oh, yeah. Thanks for not cluing us in on investing in soul runes, Drez.
What are you talking about?
You told Sirion, you didn't tell anyone else. Rude.
I didn't tell you to do that?
No.
I swear I did.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can make it up to me by giving me a billion earth runes.
I'll think about it. I swear I told you that.
You did not.
Well, he told you too, right? So there you go.
Yeah, you told me after the quest came out.
But let's be clear here. Jagex did not tell us what the runes were going to be, but soul runes, I think, were the obvious candidate here. So, I mean... I don't know how much of an investment you would have lost off this, or how much you and Sirion made. Do you know how much both of you made off this? Or is that classified?
Hold on. Okay. Well, they went up from about 375 to 360 in a couple days, and they're still going up.
You mean 460?
That's what I said. I did no such thing. Stop putting words in my mouth.
It's recorded, fool.
Yeah, and
it is indeed.
Recordings
recorded.
Can be altered.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay, soul runes investment.
Let's see. I bought them at $390 in bulk.
So, really?
Define in bulk.
As many as could be purchased on the GE over the course of 30 days.
Can you quantify that, please?
25,000 every 4 hours, 6 times 30 is 180 times 25,000. So.
And why won't you give me any earth runes?
Because why does it matter? So that's what.
Someone who is named Earth wants some Earth runes. All right.
I was promised this.
Yeah, I was there when he made that promise too. But
and then you lied and said no. Surrounded by assholes.
Anyway.
So overall, this quest, I want to just go back to something from the quest here. You know, I thought going into this that maybe it would have been a little bit too soon to bring Saren to the main game. But I see why we've done that now. And I think it was a good move to make. And I mean, when it comes to writing quests, especially elf quests, Jagex always does deliver in terms of the story. And this quest did feel like a traditional elf quest, did it not? That it had one central point, a puzzle, and very little combat.
Yeah, but the dialogue was pretty shit.
You think?
I gotta be honest. I enjoyed playing the quest, and there were no glaring storyline issues or construction of storyline issues like there were in Heroes Welcome. But like,
thank God.
Yeah, I still was. If we compare this to Plague's End, which is the quest before this in this line, it's not even anywhere near as. It didn't feel like a Grandmaster quest. That's the best way I can put it.
No, this wasn't a Grandmaster quest. You're making that up.
Okay, I got two things to say to you guys first. The first things first.
That's Plague's generally End, how it goes.
Plague's End felt like it was a bigger quest because we were waiting over 10 years for it, and it was the much-anticipated finale to that storyline. That's number one.
Okay. No.
Oh, can I counter you? Can I counter you just straight off the bat?
Okay.
And say that if you look at this Plague's End storyline, pull up Plague's End like a quest guide of it.
Yeah, I remember it quite well.
Okay, yeah.
Compare the lengths.
So compare it, and you basically start by going through one set, then another set, then another set. Then you got to run around. You got to find 6 lost elders, which is, not going to lie, that was way more work per elder than it was per shard of Saren in this particular quest.
You are right about that. You are right about that.
We only had to find 4 in this quest. We had to find 6 in the last quest. And I felt like they could have done something with the song, because we had to go find 4 pieces of the song, but they got really lazy about it and just gave it to us by going...
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like it just happened randomly. It's like, oh, you get a vision and stuff.
And then the light puzzle from A Light Within, as compared to any of the light puzzles, it was a joke. I mean, it was a pretty good puzzle in Plague's End. It was not a difficult puzzle, and it was busy work in Light Within.
Yeah, like the one in this quest, I just found it irritating.
Yeah, same here. But the thing with this one is, I mean, that's why I said draw a diagram and you'll see it's like one of those old-fashioned kind of lock encryption puzzles where if you change one thing, all the others do, and it's just a matter of finding the right key for each stage.
It seemed almost random to me, but I was probably irritated after having to do the 45 minutes of stupid skilling.
Things like that are supposed to seem
random. If we look at total, I told you guys this when we were talking about it. How long did I say it took me to do this?
6 hours.
Right. That was slightly AFK. I wasn't really paying attention. A large part of that was the skilling. I did mining AFK, so I'm sure it took me way longer than it actually needed to, because apparently all the other stuff is faster skilling.
Yes.
And you could probably, in all reality, if you got rid of the skilling portion of this quest, do the entirety of the story in under 60 minutes.
Yes, yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Because my recording was like 2.5 hours, and that was with me like interacting with people and all of that.
It just was not a Grandmaster quest, which is okay.
And I just... There's also one thing I'd like to say also in terms of finding the various fragments. They were practically spoon-fed from you. Okay, the gaze of Lady Ithil. There's a big statue of her in Ledia there. And
it was not farming difficult one. To figure out where
someone of the trees, the guy in the Cruis area, and then, well, the mushroom might have taken some work, but, you know, there you go.
That was just a scavenger hunt. yeah, running around right. Tirunwen or whatever.
And the book backstory and Falls. I'm gonna go there.
Right.
Yeah. So, who would have guessed? Yeah.
I know.
And then
right?
the Heffin one with the light crystals that was just right there.
The whole backstory and thing made me giggle.
Yeah, like that seemed shoehorned in.
Yeah, it's like they wanted to bring him back or something, right?
Yeah, it's such a potentially huge story. Because really, from the lore, I didn't remember the... I know we discussed it, but it was so long ago. I really didn't remember the lore of the war and the king and all that shenanigans that well.
Yeah, same here.
Just bringing the king back, just like, okay. And then that's it. You know, there's really no conversation. Hey, here's the king who's been missing. He's been a crystal form for...
He's been stoned for like a decade.
Yeah, for not a decade.
Not
like
a decade. 150 ages.
Years.
Literally yeah. ages.
Like he's older than all of these people's... Because these are elves. They have extended lives. And this is like third generation after him.
Yeah.
If you think about it. You know what I mean? But it was, I don't know. One of the things that I thought was very interesting about this story, and it, I hate any kind of story that involves time travel.
Yes.
They screw it up because when you look at the linear graph of time, basically Guthix knows who we are, knew someone that he really
yeah.
loved. How he described his love for Saren. More than what a mortal can imagine, right?
Aww. You
know, that's what he said, right?
I thought that was a good line.
Yeah, but more than love, more than what a mortal can imagine. But he knows that she's going to shatter herself to comply with his edicts.
And I just want to throw something out here about time travel. Now that we've interacted with Guthix in the past, what's to say that... As a clever way of ending the Sixth Age, Jagex just doesn't decide to erase the whole thing from our...
If they Janeway, I will literally quit RS.
Okay, well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
If they pull a Star Trek Voyager, I will literally quit.
Yeah, basically what that means to everyone out there who has not watched Voyager is that if you make a temporal incursion in the past, it can cause things that will eventually ripple towards the future, and... thereby erasing the Sixth Age storyline, because Guthix knows about everything now.
I would literally quit.
Right. Well, but, so if we really think about the implication, though, there's a couple things that he says when we interview with him. The first one that got me was the fact that he doesn't know who Zeros is.
That seemed weird to me.
Doesn't it seem a little bit weird that he loves someone more than the word of, more than a mortal can imagine, and she's never mentioned her brother to him?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Well,
but I do recall that being something that was established, that Zaros had been banished while Guthix was asleep, so that's why
yep.
he hadn't heard of...
He was quote-unquote killed.
Yeah, and plus Saren wouldn't mention Zaros to Guthix, because... But even back then, Saren did know, you know, what Zaros would be capable of, and she probably didn't want that to be conflicting with Guthix, right?
I find that weak as an oversight in the story, I think.
No, like, that was something that was established long ago.
Yeah,
I do recall that, yeah. Like, that wasn't this quest. That was something long ago.
Right, I know that. But to say, whatever. I just don't care to argue that point. I know what you guys mean. I know the same. I understand that he doesn't know who Zeros is. And I'm okay with Guthix not knowing who Zeros is. But then he's going to say that he loves Saren more than life. Like, okay. And then he's going to pass an edict that's going to cause her to destroy herself. This guy seems like he really doesn't like her. I don't know.
Well,
maybe it's just
he remember going back to the World Wakes. He was so concerned about the welfare of Gielinor, and he didn't want it to end up like his home planet. So maybe that's a sacrifice he was just willing to make.
Right. Well, why? See, okay. So this is why I brought up the story, because this is where I think couple weeks ago there was a question that was in, what do you think, how do you think the sixth age is going to end? We know that the Elder Gods create and destroy the universe, right?
Yes.
So, and we know that the Elder Gods are where? In Gilanor. They're just resting there. That's established. So, do you think that the sixth age storyline is, and the reason that he had to banish all the gods is because they're waking up the Elder Gods, right? Because if they mess with the Anamamunde or whatever it is, the balance of that, then the Elder Gods wake up, and that causes problems for everyone.
Right.
So do you think that the sixth conclusion is them waking up, or what? Because it seems like that's the inevitable. If the gods come back, which, here's my thing about the whole paradox of him having met us before he does it. If he realizes he's going to die and that Saren is going to be rebuilt because he's met us and we're telling him that we're rebuilding Saren, then that means that he knows that his edicts are going to be ignored at some point in time, which means that he's getting protecting the planet. Before,
see, this
it.
Is why time travel is a shitty plot device.
And this is exactly what I said we opened ourselves up to with this. A temporal paradox in RuneScape, which...
we've already had one of those. Meeting history, we gave Herblore its name.
Right, but I mean, that's seemingly minor compared to this.
Well, but is it?
That's,
yes.
That's a legitimate issue. Because if Guthix goes into banishing all of the gods with the full realization that the gods are going to be coming back anyway, then what's the point of banishing the gods?
Yeah. And then,
and if he knows,
I mean,
he's going to die...
then, I mean, we're into a whole other issue problems here as to, I mean, is, are we going to have some god quest set in the past because of this now?
I swear to God.
They're going to do it.
Well, maybe I can finally get my time runes into game.
I will literally quit. But just on record, recorded.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. But no, I really do not want them to, you know, erase or just cop out with the Six Age like this. But, you know, you raise an interesting point here, and this is a good time to jump to the question that I was going to ask you guys. And that is that after this quest, does the result of this quest and what we've learned about what Zaros wants of ultimately becoming an Elder God, does that shift people away and their allegiances from Zaros towards Saren or maybe someone else?
Well, say that again?
Can I ask you a question?
Okay, go ahead.
Who is the only person that's telling us about Zaros?
Saren.
Zaros, Azanadra, Lost.
No. But in this quest where we're learning stuff about
Saren.
Just Saren. Doesn't it seem like she'd be slightly biased?
Because she's literally his opposite?
Exactly. By the way, did you guys feel like when he shows up, he's like, we're drawn towards each other? Like, if she were to wake up, we wouldn't be able to control
Wincest.
Ourselves?
That's what I was thinking.
All right. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
And, you know, I thought the same thing, and I knew you were going to go there at this point of the quest.
It wasn't just me.
Okay.
Awkward.
And I mean,
that's also what Andrew said.
Oh, he did the quest.
No, he was watching me.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it is kind of obvious, and maybe things like that are just different in terms of a god perspective. Because remember, they are able to split shards themselves off.
Yeah, well, they love each other so much that they'll let another person split themselves into a bunch of small shards. The gods are messed up. I don't know. I think that the lore implications of this were...
negligible?
Yeah, there really weren't very... There was a lot of past lore, so this felt like a lore-heavy quest. Because you had to go through and remember
review.
Stuff. Review. But it was really review. There wasn't a significant amount of new content that was brought in. Really, the only new content that was brought in was Zeros or Saren's perspective on Zeros and Saren's perspective on the Elder Gods and the implications of now Guthix had met us prior to doing his things, which meant he knew the outcome of doing his things, which meant that he did it regardless. So
okay, let's just not talk about that anymore. I don't want to give any ideas to Jagex for a future quest.
For the love of God, do not Janeway it.
So, yeah.
But,
I think that,
I mean, were you guys slightly terrified by Saren's explanation of Zaharos?
No.
What explanation?
That he wants to become an Elder God. Because I don't think that's been said anywhere.
I'm pretty sure that was said a lot. That seemed fairly obvious to me.
I think that if you look at it from the perspective of Saren and Zaharos, I'm kind of actually flabbergasted that Saren disagrees. Because
with
Zaharos and the concept of becoming a greater god. You are born from the least of the elder gods, who is a half-born weakling. And you're born from her dreams, you know. That's what Zaharos and Saren are. Wouldn't you be mildly irritated by the fact that you're stuck on a planet with your creator who is not even there?
Well, yeah, you're basically a dream, an afterthought.
Right. And to see the raw power available and to not say, I am conscious, I am capable, I know what to do, and I can do it better than this weakling that created me, I should be able to at least try. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And okay. That is something that people would do. But the question is, do we need another Elder God running around? Because remember, we also heard that Zaharos wants various pieces from somewhere to form himself into an Elder God. So maybe that's the avenue we can proceed down.
He needs all the Elder artifacts, right?
Hell if I know.
No, it was something else. It was something for form, and then the rest for thought. I don't recall what they were, though. They were not the Elder artifacts.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. See, me personally, I feel like having a god who can come in and create things, which is what the Elder gods can do, that is the distinguishing characteristic that differentiates the Elder gods from the lesser gods.
Right.
The fact
right.
that they are able to create. Having a god who can create is in no way a bad thing. We want to call him darkness, but a god who's creating is not dark, he's creating light.
Right, yeah. Because I think, also, to let's remember something. That going back in the past, well, not in the past, per se, not time travel, but just back in our past of previous quests, we have established that there is light and dark in everyone, so if Zaharos is creating new things, there will undoubtedly be light in them, right?
Except for Saren, who you didn't put her dark back in.
And that's precisely why I didn't put her dark back in. Because I knew something like this might be on the forefront.
Right. But I think that anybody who aspires to do, that doesn't make you dark. And I think that just because she disagrees with him and paints him as such, really the lore that we've gotten isn't any more information than we've already known. I agree with Earth. I think that it's been known, or at least assumed, that he's aspiring towards a higher tier of godhood.
All right. Well, in that case, let me just say that, and then at the very least, then Saren spells it out for everyone and establishes it as hard fact for those who might not have got that.
Right.
Sure.
And I think that they need to do this from a lore design perspective, thinking in terms of Jagex, you know, the employees who work there and create the quest. Because after the first world event, everyone clobbered Zamorak, and then we had to rediscover and re-meet Zamorak based off of Zamorak's heist quest, or whatever that quest was actually called. Zamorak's heist was called...
Well, if I know.
Yeah, I can't remember that. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, we might have already known that, but from a lore design perspective, Jagex needs to kind of shake the tree a bit and ensure that not everyone is gravitating towards some god out there. and hearing it in the fashion that Saren said it maybe does or maybe will have some impact on some people and their decisions that they make going forward.
Yeah, but
that's what I think they ultimately did that.
Do you agree or disagree with the ideals of Zamorak?
Of Zamorak?
Of Zamorak, not Daryl Zamorak.
I agree.
Shane?
I agree with the general sentiment, but not necessarily the methods.
Okay. Do you agree with yes or no? Do you agree with Sarah Doman?
No.
Why not?
No.
But who is the good guy of the two?
I don't think there is a good guy of the two.
What is good?
Who do you want to follow? If you really think about it, not as a person looking at it from a philosophical perspective or a player playing a game. If you are an NPC in the computer game, which god do you want to be a worshiper of?
Armadale or Sarah Doman?
Sarah Doman, because you have a better chance of him protecting your ass, right? Yeah, at least to his followers, takes care of his people. Whether or not he's a controlling freak is irrelevant. So from the point of a god, gods can twist whatever they want to meet their own means, and everyone is looking out for numero uno. Even if Saren says that I'm going to be a servant to the people and I'll no longer be the leader of the elves, that doesn't mean she's not twisting it to her perspective and for her needs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's perfectly fine, and I think that's ultimately why this might shake some people towards the Saren direction, make them followers of Saren, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I like having a god who thinks they're going to serve me.
Well, maybe, but
of course,
I mean,
Braska serves me all the time.
That was funny. We'll talk about that after, though. Because as we're wrapping up, but I don't know. It definitely raises interesting questions about who you'd follow and whatnot. But I really just have a lingering doubt now about Zaros.
Can I make another point?
Yes.
Every quest that we've dealt with recently has resulted in a god who is supposed to be a person of power and authority, no longer holding that position. We're now the champion of Athenus. The Elven Council leads the Elven armies. So we have, leads the Elven kingdom. So basically what's happened here is that the god has renounced herself. Even though she's technically still a god, she's renounced herself and we're the champions there. So we end up in a situation again where we're a recognized individual with leadership authority over a large segment of the Gilanor populace, and the god who is supposed to be protecting them going away. We talked about this last time, the implications of V just gone. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And it's over and over and over again throughout the stories that are being presented to us. We're replacing the gods.
Well, maybe
the Church of You or whatever the hell it's going to be called.
Remember,
is that
though,
still a thing?
Like, nah, it's maybe. It's a maybe. But, you know, that raises an interesting question now that you brought that up, Draz. With the gods seemingly falling by the wayside, if we're going to be the, you know, go-to contact for all these groups of people, maybe 2016 will be leaning towards the godless, and the godless will have the solution to the whole thing.
Yeah.
The final solution.
The solution.
The final solution, right, Shane?
I think that the reality of politicking between the gods is that they have to be aware of what's going on.
Of course.
We're the one guardian just in of itself, but we've used that to amass an army that's larger than the rest of them. I mean, what's going to happen in a couple weeks when we go out to Mortania and start messing with Draken and all those guys?
We're gonna kill Draken.
And what? Take over that entire area of the world too? Which was Zamorak. You know what I mean? So now suddenly we're taking over Zamorakian followers, we're taking over these followers, we're taking over Guthix followers, now Saren's followers. Good lord, left! You're gonna end up being, it's
well, maybe
be you.
Here's another outlandish idea. I know they never said the player would become a god, but maybe Trekkie's been right all along. Because that's what he's... He wants to be, you know, the god of everything in our ass, and maybe that is a way for him to achieve this. But it doesn't seem like a good plot device.
Right.
Well, neither is time travel, but look, we already did that, so...
Don't talk about it, or else they'll do it.
Can you guys explain something to me? Because I feel like I'm missing this, and maybe it's... Why is Guthix strong enough to tell Saren and Zeros stay up?
Zeros is already dead, and Saren was willing to do it. She did it willingly. I'm fairly certain she could have opposed it and
yes.
been... And the- fairly successful.
Sarah Doman says, I don't care what you got to say. Guthix kicks him off.
Yeah, Zaros was more powerful than Sarah Doman. That was established.
Yes.
Yeah. Now,
but
you're right, because at the time of the banishment, Zaros is typically dead, but Guthix and Saren were both tier 2 gods, whereas everyone else was lower. So that's why it was able to happen that way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she did it because she loved him and didn't want to disappoint him.
Exactly.
I find that icky.
And rather than letting the elves die in 90 years or however old they live, that's why she shattered herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not great writing.
No, it's not. But, I mean... Yeah. You seemed to like the cutscenes, though, when they were putting her back together.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, explain.
Oh, you just found them entertaining. That's all.
Explain.
And then you also found it entertaining how you'd carried a lifeless god through Frenisque.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Go, this went through you.
I gotta be honest, you got an entire council of elders. In the Elven Council.
Yeah, like, why didn't they send some guys to help me?
Yeah. In the process of rebuilding him, they can't pull a while Guthix sleeps and bring every single major character in the realm of Gilenor together, or, I don't know, maybe the 11 elves that are standing right there in a group and take her to Frenisque?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a precedent in the game to bring major characters together to create an organ, you know, a group.
Yes.
So they and could do that.
I don't want to play the Rune Labs card, but I feel like I need to play the Rune Labs card right now.
Why? What's wrong with you? Are you sick? Do you need medical assistance?
No, I don't. But this was a Rune Labs featured quest, so what's to say JX wanted to do it on this timetable?
Right. I don't know. I think that, like I said at the beginning of this, I don't feel like it is a Grandmaster quest. Just because it's got level 80 requirements doesn't make it a Grandmaster quest, and I'm tired of them distinguishing the difficulty of the quest based off of its requirements.
But just wait. It's not only in the requirements what is a Grandmaster quest, it's also in terms of what you do, and I'd call reviving a god a pretty major thing. So that's why this is a Grandmaster quest. This question was asked before.
I still think that's a shitty definition.
Well, it was asked before to Maud Osborne about some other quest. I don't recall which one, but that's the answer he gave, that it doesn't necessarily have to be requirements. You could have a Grandmaster quest with one quest requirement and maybe two level 70-ish skill requirements.
Doesn't make it do something major.
Death Plateau allows you... That's the correct quest, right? That allows you to use Ancients.
No, that's Desert Treasure.
Desert Treasure. So, why did I say Death Blood?
Because you're dumb.
I'm an idiot, yeah. Desert Treasure. Is that even a Master Quest? Or is that the one
that's a Master Quest,
but that's also before they introduced the Grandmaster. Grandmaster was introduced with...
While Guthix sleeps.
Compare the content that accompanies and the achievement that accompanies Desert Treasure. Okay, and then what's the... I cannot remember the one where you get these curses.
Temple of Tintiston.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a master, right?
I know.
So part of my problem was, like, they just arbitrarily assign it to Grandmaster, you know, if the title of the quest, they need to like really go through and reevaluate every quest. And it's
Temple at Sintistan was a master quest,
right? I mean, those two quests had more lore implications and after quest content than this one did. I don't care if you brought a god back. Whoop-de-doo.
But that's pretty major. Has the potential to shift the balance of power in the world.
Yeah, and?
Can you say that discovering curses or ancient magics shift the balance of power?
Hell yeah.
Tell any of the people in God Wars Dungeon when I soul split them that it's not an overpower.
Oh my God. All right. Well, you're free to have that opinion, but I do think this is a Grandmaster quest.
Okay.
There's something else I also wanted to ask you in terms of post-quest dialogue. You guys didn't remove the Dark Shard. So what does it say when you ask Saren about the darkness?
She says it was a good thing. I should never have removed the darkness from me initially, and that there's darkness and lightness in everyone. It's best to recognize the darkness and not run from it, to control it and take the responsibility for it rather than remove and ignore it entirely.
All right.
You know,
that's almost a quote. I wish I didn't read it off. But that's pretty close.
I mean, you know what the great Obi-Wan Kenobi said, right, Shane?
No.
Only Sith deal in absolutes. An absolute good is just as bad as absolute evil, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
He didn't say that last part, I just tacked that on.
He only said
only Sith deal in absolutes. Which is funny, because that's an absolute.
That's true. But anyways, when I asked about that, Saren knew that it was gone. And she basically accepts it, and she said, "Oh, well, you took well care of that then." So there really wasn't too much.
So she said, "All right, you f***ed up, but I can't do anything about it."
Well, she didn't use that language, but
I did.
Yes, you did.
He's gonna have to edit that out. I'm sorry, Shane. He's making you do more work.
Oh, hey, that's all right.
I still have a ton of rollover left from this summer.
All right. Stop. Yeah, there you go. You got it. All right, so is there anything... Where are we going next with this? I think we've covered it quite well.
Do you like it, Earth?
It's all right.
Shane?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I was quite surprised being a Rune Labs update.
Yeah, I liked it too. On a scale of 1 to 5, what would you give it, Earth?
4.
I'd give it 3.5.
All right.
I'm in a good mood today.
Well, I'm going to knock your guys' socks off.
Well, no, they couldn't use commas, which irked me. And there was, like, BioWare level of writing. So, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go with a 3.
All right. Well, I'm going to knock your guys' socks off and give this a 5.
Wow.
My socks literally fell off.
My socks didn't just, like, get knocked off. They literally, like, went through the window.
Mine went through my monitor. Like,
battering glass. That was what it was.
Yeah. They've actually become sentient now.
Oh, boy. The sentient socks. But,
there's a show title.
Yeah, I just wrote that down, actually. But I needed to give this quest a 5.
You needed to?
Not because of the dialogue or because of, you know, the writing or anything like that, or the actual lore implications. Just because of the sheer magnitude of what this did and the implications for the future, which we've already discussed. One of them, we don't want to go that way. One of them provides an interesting direction for the future. And the other one maybe allows us an easier out to the God Wars thing. So that's why I gave this a 5, is because I think that it puts us on a path to resolving this whole, you know, second God Wars arc.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think this has the potential to shake the tree a bit and move some players towards not supporting Zaros.
I don't think so. I think that people blindly follow the darkness because they think it's cool.
Yeah, they do, and that's a problem, you know, not only in RS, but the modern world as well. So.
Oh my god.
Nah, he's right, man. He's right.
Alright, we're getting into that. I think we're done with RS.
I wasn't going to take it any further than that. So you're safe.
We're done with RS updates for the week.
You're safe. Yeah, you're safe.
Let's move on.
No, we got to go to the patch notes. But
we got a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, we got
I just want to say one more thing before we wrap this up, though. And just wait. We will never talk about time travel on this show again.
Oh, that's shit. That is.
It's going to be a no-no.
The next class is going to be a time travel back.
In. No, we do not want that. Shut your mouth and do not speak further of a time travel quest.
This is off topic, but on topic. Did you guys have fun talking to Gothics again?
Yes.
I did too.
Meh.
It was happy time. I was like, yay!
Yay, he's going to die.
All right,
I just told him, I was like, you're going to die, bud. You're going to die.
He's such a popular character. I would not be surprised if they release quests that allow us to play with him again.
Stop. You're talking time travel again. We want to avoid that.
No. You shoehorn it in with like that memories shit.
Memories?
Yeah. Like memories of Guthics, like the butterfly shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll find a way to shoehorn it in, Shane.
Well, if they put it in that way, it's fine.
He's like the Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? He's so popular. His brand is so strong. I don't know why you wouldn't include him.
I'm not saying don't put Guthics reference in or Guthics lore in. I'm just saying don't use time travel and go back to talk to him again.
Right, yeah.
I thought we weren't going to mention time travel on this
show.
No,
we're not.
I don't mean, Shane.
You just did. You said it yourself. Well, you said time travel.
All right.
I don't mean like, you know, that phrase that you can't use to describe moving to a different. I mean, I really would be amazed if, as a game production company, Jagex doesn't make content specifically related to Guthics because he is just a really popular aspect of the game. So I would, and I don't know why, if I were doing it, that's what I would do. That's why I feel like, I mean, Zamorak really became unpopular when Zeros became known, and he's so popular now. So a lot of content involves Zeros. And so it looks like, as a production company, they're really, and this is really a problem, I feel, they're releasing content specifically related to very limited aspects of the game because it's popular. They're releasing content about Dragonkin. They're releasing content about Zeros. They're releasing content about other gods.
Yes.
And they're not really expanding on anything else or trying to make anything else popular because it's just, let's be honest, a quest about penguins or certification and you know, the knights and all that, nobody cares about that anymore.
That's right.
Not interesting.
That's right.
Not broad scoping huge content, and that's an issue. You need to have those smaller side stories that really don't have sweeping effects on the game, but are just simply created because they're entertaining.
To take an example from another game, Fallout New Vegas, I love the side quests in that. The main quest, it's all right, but I mean, it's fairly predictable. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be a showdown at some point.
Right.
But it's like all the little side quests where all the fun stuff is.
At this point, I'd like to direct everyone to RSBNB Informer at informer.rsbnb.com. Colton wrote an article a couple of months ago entitled, "Have We Jumped the Shark?" pertaining to RuneScape lore. So it's actually talking about what you guys are mentioning right now. So give it a read at informer.rsbnb.com.
That was a nice plug.
I knew exactly where he was going with that, too. Once he said, now let me. He was like, oh, there's a plug.
So, but I don't know. I think we've beaten this topic to the dead horse state.
Yes, we have.
So let's get on to the next other.
The next other stuff.
Iron Man Iron group Man. Bossing and completionist requirements.
Who cares?
That, my thoughts exactly. Let's move on.
Well, let me just say then, high-level content for Iron Man players, including the access to the raid system, loot share has also been enabled, and they've also opened up a few areas, including the Kalphite King's Lair, the Virago Borehole, mobilizing armies, and barbarian assault.
The Virago Whorehole?
I don't want this to come across as judgmental or rude, but if you're getting a completionist cape on an Iron Man account, you need to go outside. Like, they shouldn't even release that content. It's just not necessary. The amount of people who are going to realistically do it does not justify it. Releasing content, announcing it to people like us.
Oh, it's a little terrifying that there are people who will.
It's a little terrifying there are Iron Man accounts who are already maxed out.
Yeah, there are Iron Man accounts, I believe.
What?
There are three right now that have the complete.
Yes.
How the f*** did they do
three
that?
Three that qualify for max cape or completionist cape, but... And that's okay. That's fine. But three people. How many people will play RuneScape on a daily basis? 400,000 plus?
Maybe.
So sure. You're going to release content and announce content that affects three people? Like, seriously? That's worse than... What did they release a couple weeks ago?
Fistagothics, yeah.
What a waste of time. This is even more of a waste
but,
of time.
You know, this is just going to the whole aspect of the problem with the RS community right now. That everyone is so concerned about XP,
getting
levels,
point.
And so on and so forth. So,
right. Well, it's just stupid. I understand the concept of an Iron Man account. It was to create a account type that really encouraged people to utilize low and medium end content.
Because
you're supposed to die before you get to the point of being able to do this. If you fight Nomad and you beat him without dying, that's not cool. You're supposed to die at least once when fighting Nomad. Otherwise, the whole point of the quest has been lost.
Well, it was made a lot easier with EOC, but we're going to move on from that right now. So, patch notes. Additional action bars came out this week, so you can have multiple on the screen at one time. I am very thankful for this, and it might actually encourage me to go on a bossing run.
So how does
once
that
or twice now.
Affect Revolution? Does it still just do the first nine on one of the
it
action
only does,
bars?
It only does your first action bar, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But the other ones you can assign keyboard shortcuts to or clicky-click as much as you want.
Clicky-click.
Yeah?
Can you use... It's still one click per one click, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or they change it on... Okay.
Yeah, and you can access this in the game settings, the new game settings menu they brought out 2 weeks ago. So, just add them, move them around. And this was a problem I had when I was trying to take down the big spider last year, so I'd have to give it another try.
Araxor?
Yep. Yeah, I didn't have enough action bar slots, and I couldn't use my mouse with 12 buttons on it to make myself more efficient.
Oh, poor shame. But it has... It has 14. Like, just one of them has 14 on it.
Yeah. I needed more.
What?
I needed more. I need more defensive abilities.
Why? My mouse has 20 buttons.
Oh, nice.
What the fuck is wrong with you two?
So, I don't know what to tell you. I got a left-hand keyboard that's on the left-hand side of my main keyboard that's got 30-some programmable keys, and I got a mouse with 20 keys. I got 50 programmable keys within fingers.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's pushing a little bit. Are you, like, trying to run mission control for NASA or something?
I mean, I just...
Even then, they split that up between people. Jesus.
You never know what you're going to need.
Well, I'm pretty damn sure I'm never going to need that.
maybe not on RuneScape, but...
Oh, hell no.
Okay. Well, I had no idea action bars were going to inspire that many pushable buttons and pushing buttons, but okay.
You still have to have them all open.
Hmm?
You still have to have them open in order to use them, so it's taking
Yes, you do. Space. You do. So they will take screen space up. So there's even more reason to have a 27-inch display now. Anyways, the Slayer assignment overlay will now display the correct Slayer creature when receiving an assignment by a social Slayer or the Slayer mask. Okay, that's been a problem for a good while. I was wondering why when I assigned myself Abyssal Demons, it said I had Dark Beasts.
You can assign yourself tasks?
Yeah, if you have a mask for any of the critters, just go to the Slayer master you're choosing and they'll offer you that task.
Like, you can do the same task over and over again?
No,
you have to do one in between.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, there's a cooldown about it. So. But in theory, every other task you could have Abyssal Demons if you really liked Abyssal Demons.
Oh my god.
What? This has existed since like 2013.
Yeah,
that's not surprising to me.
But you learn something new everything day, eh?
Oops. Everything day. Yes, well said, Shane. Everything day.
Yeah, sorry about that. But anyways, Royal Bolts will now work correctly with the Tyrannan Quiver. Okay. Players can now consistently alchemize quest point capes.
Oh, thank God. I've got a million of them. I gotta get rid of.
Yeah, man. What?
Now let's alchemize the quest point capes of Clan Quest.
Why?
I don't know, but I'm not going to say anything. I just had a really funny joke about future of quests, but I'm not going to say
it. I want to hear the funny joke.
No, you don't want to hear it. Trust me.
I really do. And I know that our listeners do.
Shane, someone's like trying to appreciate your humor, which is more than I will ever do.
All right.
And you're not accepting it?
Well, if we end up with a quest talking to Guthix in time travel,
Clan Quest will rename itself.
That's why I said I'm not going to say it. Clan Quest will rename itself the Temporal Mechanics Department of RuneScape.
Yeah, no, or not.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But...
shooting that down right now.
Well, let's do it for April Fool's then.
Sure.
No, that's okay.
Glacers can no longer be lured into attacking their own kin. That's nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I wonder how you could even get it to do that.
Hell if I know.
Opening treasure trail caskets while poisoned will no longer close the interface. Well, that's good if you wanted to use a reroll and never got a chance to. So. And a whole bunch of miscellaneous settings added for, ready? Discarding empty bowls when cooking, eating, discarding empty pie dishes, discarding empty vials when mixing potions or decanting potions, and discarding empty beer glasses when drinking.
Cool.
Am I the only one that has a problem with this?
I feel like this is completely unnecessary.
Same. Because we had potion flasks added to fix this issue for Herblore.
I feel like this makes certain things like Summer Pie overpowered.
Yeah?
Wait, why?
I've heard of that. Because Rocktail Soup's, the bowl, for example, exists, right?
I think so.
No.
No, it does. No. So
it does exist. Rocktail Soup is a thing, Shane.
Rocktail Soup, but when you eat the Rocktail Soup, it leaves the bowl.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
Nope.
Well, Summer Pie is an easy example of an item that is fairly cheap. Like, if you're going out and you're buying mass food, don't buy fish, buy Summer Pies. Because they're like 400 GP each, and they heal as much, if not more, than most major fishes do.
And they have a nice little agility boost, too, don't they?
Yeah, yes. And that's, you get them. The reason that they're so cheap is because they're a fairly common item from thieving and from running agility courses in Priftinus now. So, but regardless of that, part of the consequence of eating them is you have to drop the pie dish after you've concluded eating both portions of it. And if you don't have to do that, then there's not an issue of having to drop and then pick up loot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel that takes away part of the handicap, which makes me go, yep. Wow, I'm going to buy even more of them.
Yeah, and that's why I said this feels completely unnecessary when this was fixed for her blur by adding potion flasks.
Yeah.
Anyways, anything
so
on the
what
patch
does it do?
Can...
Does it just like completely destroy them or just automatically drop them?
Well, it says discard, so I would assume destroy.
Alright.
So.
One of the things that's interesting is the trade limit and bonds being able to be freely traded. I don't think that really affects us high level content players, but it does affect
it's good
those
for low level players.
Yeah, that's pretty big. It's actually been a minor issue because you have to have the trade limit in order to. It's very difficult to get a bond to someone because you can't just trade it to them. It used to be an issue.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, okay. It'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be good. I thought it had a potential issue, but no. Anything else?
No.
I'm looking through it right now, and it doesn't, yeah, nothing big.
Okie dokie, then. I'd like to draw everyone's attention to Rune Lab, something submitted by Cam from Clan Quest. Basically, a high-level view of your player-owned house that would allow you to move rooms for a small fee. This would be done at an estate agent. It would be a 2D overlay view, one page for each floor. And basically, it would allow you to move a room without having to rebuild it and go into your house. I think this is probably a good idea because this would undoubtedly be the cornerstone of some kind of construction update in the future. So if we can maybe get the construction update out in bits and pieces like we had with the customization options a few weeks ago, and now maybe something like this would decrease the need for a massive overhaul of construction. So what do you guys think?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I would say it's silly, but because you can't move rooms around in a house, but then I realized that the entire world is magic. So, yeah.
Why not? Why can't we- right?
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason that this shouldn't have already been done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find the link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, and you can just head on over to Rune Labs and press the little support button if this idea interests you. All right. Wrapping up the RS segment this week, Golden Gnome Awards are going to be at RuneFest this year again. Got categories for artwork and a whole bunch of subcategories, live streaming. And video. So those are the three categories and a whole bunch there. So if you have someone in mind who might fit into one of these categories, they have email set up and some more detailed qualifications and requirements for being here. So you can check that out in the news posting. Some of the artwork ideas are best artwork, comic, real life creation, and male or female cosplay. Under streaming, we got the most entertaining moment and the best streamer. Video section includes the best video guide and best video, or best original content, rather, and best video maker. And then, of course, we got the community champion. So, that's going to be handed out at RuneFest this year.
We skipped...
Walk animation overrides.
Yeah, I was going to end with that because it's seemingly minor, but new walk
it
animation.
It looks dumb.
Yeah. It's not playing for me, so I haven't seen them yet.
It didn't play for me either. It looks dumb. That's all I have to say on that.
Well, I mean, it gives someone somewhere to spend extra rune coins, right? So
I'm so tired of cosmetic customizations. It's exhausting.
Yeah, well... I mean, it's better than having something completely overpowered, right?
I guess you walk a different way and monsters suddenly flee before you. And...
Yeah. Happy. The happy one looks amusing. But no, I wouldn't get any of these. Proud, angry, happy. Mm. sad.
I feel like this is interesting content for people who make videos, but for actual gameplay.
That's right. Right on. Oh, there we go.
Right on.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the questions right now. Reed, would you like to take the first one?
Sure. Question from Thieves. Simple question this week. How do you feel about your favorite god after speaking to Saren post-quest? As for thieving advice for Earth, try the new crystal mask spell on the paladins in Lanthus Castle, room 8, plunder-esque XP for levels 80 through 90. I will try that out.
Yeah. You don't have to gouge your eyes out with plunder, so that's good. Just go with something like this. Now, is he saying favorite god as in Zaros being our favorite god, or what are you guys' favorite
you
gods?
You can go to Saren and ask about any god. Which god is your favorite, Shane?
I don't know anymore. Like, just shook the tree for me. That's what I was saying. So you guys go first.
You can't ask her about Brassica Prime.
Yes, you can. Oh,
God, yeah.
I am
right now.
She
said that Brassica was insane. So
I like him even more.
So, favorite god, Draz, go.
Brassica Prime, I didn't realize you could talk to her about it.
Jeez,
I don't know how I missed
it. Shane, listen.
Oh, okay.
You said Brassica Prime like six different times.
Well, I thought he wasn't being serious because Brassica Prime isn't serious.
What the hell are you saying, sir?
Find a serious god. It's
that's
a,
supposed to
it's
mean,
it's a cabbage.
Shane.
It's a cabbage.
What are
you
talking
you're
about?
A cabbage.
It's the most powerful god in Gilanor, sir.
Yeah, it very well might be, and there's another horrible way to end the Sixth Age. Have
oh,
Brassica
god.
Prime solve it.
Just rain cabbages down.
Hey. All I know is that if you type Andrew in the notes tab.
All right. Well, I mean,
bring
I
up
guess.
Other gods. Icon does it. You don't type Andrew and have darkness show up. No. Cabbages.
Well, like I said during the quest, I'm not so sure about Zaros anymore after this quest, and specifically with the post-quest dialogue as well, so there's my answer to that question. Earth?
Zamorak, in my opinion, has not changed.
Okay. So, well, that's good, I guess.
It's just
that means
like,
you're...
no, I don't like him because he tried to kill my brother. It's like, I already knew that, thanks.
Yeah, that, and, I mean, going to the quest, it felt like going through those options, everything like that was pretty much known. It was just put in a different perspective for Zaros, I felt. But, and, you know, maybe you guys are right in terms of lore sense then. So, All right, I assume we're done with that one, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
Next
one is from Colton. Hello, Colton. He says, hosts, you are all beautiful, independent, and strong. Hope your week has treated you well. Here are your questions. What kind of soup do you prefer? Are you not a soup person? 2, do you guys honestly foresee a resurgence of young people seeking out MMOs like happened about 10 years ago? Or have small surface-level games on smart devices destroyed the minds of our upcoming youngsters? 3, I made Elunid sacrifice herself. Am I redeemable or am I worse than dirt? 4, do you think RuneScape will ever go back to voice-acted content? It seems like a bit of a phase now, and it seems like the last voiced content we saw was Fate of the Gods, which was released over a year ago. Thank you guys for answering. Those are from Colton. So, soup.
Chicken noodle soup. I think deep in-depth games will always have a place, but perhaps not as big of one as there was 10 years ago. No, you're an asshole, and I'm pretty sure they said something about not doing voice acting anymore because it's expensive and time-consuming.
Yes, right? That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically came down into that they can voice act one quest or they can spend that money and put the resources on other content. So... It's obvious what they chose to do. But soup for me, tomato soup, definitely. Just plain tomato soup, nothing special about it. Maybe a dash of pepper on top, so that'd be good. And in terms of MMOs, I don't know. I think everything is going smaller. I think the future of gaming in terms of large, in-depth games is going to be focused on the very few games like Earth here just said. Like, what kind of games would you cite as examples of the ones that you were saying?
What, like big games? Yeah. Stuff like Fallout.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's what I thought as well. So I'll go with that. And yeah, I mean, for gaming in a pinch, surface level, small games on smart devices, that's definitely where the world's gone. You even see that in things like Hearthstone and all those other kind of things like that. So definitely heading in that direction. And
but I think real games will definitely still be around.
Oh yeah, they're not disappearing anytime soon, that's for sure. And Jagex definitely needs to catch the boat on this before they get left behind.
Yeah.
And but, yes, I made Elyonid sacrifice herself, so no, you're not worse than dirt.
You're still an asshole, though. Both
and
of you.
And four has been answered. Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment. It wouldn't be a day without being called an asshole by you.
Aww.
Alrighty. So, what kind of soup do you prefer? I like wonton soup. And I would say that if I had to describe myself as a soup person, I would say that I probably am not. So, but if you were going to like make me eat soup, wonton soup. As far as the resurgence of MMOs, I feel like MMOs being unpopular is not a result of the game, but the availability of to play the game. I feel like desktop computers and large computers existed in mass and with more frequency and more accessibility and more use 10 years ago, but now largely, like has been discussed, small devices existing. But really, if we look at games that are being released and the amount of money that games are making, gaming is still fairly popular, and yet there's really not any dominant console gaming MMO style out there for like Xbox One or PlayStation.
You've got games Hold on, like say Diablo. That again? You broke up.
Did I break up?
Yeah.
Where did I break out?
I heard Xbox, but I couldn't hear anything before or after that.
You got the Xbox One, you got PlayStation 4, those are the console games. But if you look at the games that are on there, they're selling, there's lots of people purchasing them, there's a lot of people playing them, but they're really not focusing on any kind of MMO on those consoles.
Yeah, they are. Neverwinter Nights.
I know. Diablo. There's all kinds of different games, but they're not marketed as the popular games of those. And it's largely with control issues. It's much easier to control your character with a keyboard on a computer as compared to utilizing a, you know, hand controller. So I don't know. I think a lot of it's gameplay style and the equipment used to play an MMO. I don't think that it's ever going to resurge until they can correct that issue, which I think is more just fixing the dynamics of game design to make playing games much easier with less hands-on control. Does that make
sense? When it comes to game design, I think that definitely on the consoles, the perception is there that it's just easy to rinse and recycle the same content. I mean, look at any EA franchise. Small tweaks every year and maybe some new maps for the shooting ones, but that's about it. So I honestly think console games and whatnot are going to stick around because that's where these companies make the most of their money.
Right. But I think that we'll see a slow, but whenever it does happen, it'll be pretty big, transition from computer gaming to console gaming for amateur players. Because MMO players, if you really think about it, the majority of MMO players 10 years ago were amateur players. And then those people who played MMOs on computers transitioned to other devices. True hardcore gamers still play computer. But the majority of people who play games who are purchasing and affecting the marketplace are amateur gamers who are doing it just as a something to entertain you for a few hours. MMOs actually really fit that need better than most of the games that are out now. It's just that gameplay for an amateur on a console is not as easy or accessible as it would be on a computer.
I think that's largely true. And I mean, going forward, the big MMO days were when World of Warcraft first came out. So, I mean, right. I don't think they're going back to the console MMOs.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I think that Blizzard had that flop when they released Diablo. I think they were expecting it to be a little bit more successful. That's not a true... it is an MMO, but it's not a full-style MMO like when we talk about MMOs 10 years ago.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. And as far as Aluna sacrificing herself, am I redeemable or am I worse than dirt? I'm really not sure what you mean by that, because Earth is made up of dirt and cabbage grows from dirt. So to be worse than something, which, you know, spawned Brassica Prime, seems like a contradictory statement.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's worse than me because, you know, I'm f***ing awesome.
Oh, you just have to throw that in every week as well, right?
Well, I mean, I have to remind all of you peasants how great I am. Otherwise,
you don't need to
appreciate
remind me.
Did I call you a peasant? I merely implied that you were one, Shane.
Well, I'll bend down and I'll kiss the ring.
No, that's okay. More bending, please.
Oh, but sometimes it's good to do that. It
that's
exercises
enough out
all the joints
you.
In your body.
That's enough out of you.
All right. Well, thank you for the questions, everyone. Colton and Thieves, good questions this week. And it fit in very nicely with our time. So you guys basically knew to hit the right spot in terms of that. But if you guys want to send in a question for next week, email them to questions@rsbnb.com. We take text and audio questions there. We also have the telephone number, which you can call 571-57-BNB, and that is country code 1, area code 571-572-2632. And once again, we take audio questions and text messages there. We look forward to having your questions.
Yay.
All right. Tech news.
I was expecting someone to say nice plug or something there, but... I guess really it's not much of a plug.
Yeah, no, it's just expected at that point.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really a tie-in to anything. It was just there.
You should have set it up so you could have knocked it down.
Yeah.
That happens enough. But anyways, this week Twitter revoked API access and shut down a number of websites that were dedicated to archiving deleted tweets from politicians worldwide. The website group was apparently known as the PolitWhoops, which was overseen by the Open Source Foundation, and Twitter suspended their API access on Friday the 21st. Gotta wonder why Twitter's doing something like this when, I mean, it's not like they're losing money from it, but this seems like a open and transparent, thing that a company would choose to pursue, and I wonder why Twitter would want to, stand in the way of that.
They don't want to discourage politicians from using their system because they're afraid that things that they might need to delete won't be able to be deleted, and so which would affect their market share and ad buy. And
that's
so
true.
By having a policy where they're not allowing third parties to save tweets which have been deleted, it encourages politicians and other commercial purchasers who would bring viewers into their content to create content on Twitter.
Okay.
Yay, money.
I just have
it does affect their money.
I have two subsequent concerns following it then. One, where does it stop? Are they just going to prevent people from saving the tweets on websites? And two, are they going to go to the Library of Congress and remove the copy of all the tweets that's in there? Because remember, a good number of years ago, when Twitter was still growing, they actually printed out all of the tweets that were ever in existence and published a book of them to the Library of Congress.
Well, I don't think that they'll do that, but I think that they will ongoing from now. I mean, let's just use American politics. Hillary Clinton goes up, puts something up, and then it can't be deleted, and then it affects her political position or political stance or political power, whatever you want to say. And then suddenly everyone who is following her on Twitter, she's no longer going to put content up there, which means nobody gets to see that existing content, which means they don't get to sell the ad buy off people viewing that because she's afraid to use it. Or Donald Trump, anyone, it doesn't matter. So from a Twitter's perspective, they want to make it as incentivized as possible for large parties to create content on Twitter because it ensures more people view their stuff.
All right. Well, I just have a simple solution to this whole thing. Remove the delete feature on Twitter.
I agree.
Because when you're posting a tweet, you post a tweet, and if you're meaning to post something, you definitely wanted to post it, so therefore you should have no regret for posting it. And it would just be a simple matter of updating the Twitter terms and conditions to convey that, well, when you post something, it's permanent, and that's something that Twitter strives for.
I tweet things and then delete them. Like, if there's a typo or if it's wrong information, they should not take away the delete function. That's stupid.
Well, they should allow editing.
Okay.
For a certain
I'm not an avid Twitterer, but I'm 97% sure that there was a point in time where you were not able to delete content.
Yeah, back in the dark ages when it first started. But
okay.
I don't know. I think that having the delete button on like this is, I mean, it's just far too convenient. You can't scrub, you know, if someone does a bad interview or something and that gets published, you can't go to CBS and say, delete this interview from 1996 that X candidate did about issue Y.
I agree.
So that's my take on it, but I don't think anyone here is in politics, so I don't think we have to worry. But
what are you talking about? I'm always running definitely ahead of my country.
You should definitely, worry about your politician's content being deleted when you go to vote for them, I think. That is the aspect that should be taken on this. But anyways, we're going to return a bit now to something that most people listening to the show use, and that's something called Facebook. You guys aware that this week Facebook launched something called Facebook M?
Mm-hmm. It's their response to Siri, Cortana, and all that, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Now the
and
question
how
that
is
comes
it?
Up, well, I've never tried it.
How do you do it, Shane?
What do you mean? It was only released to certain people in the Bay Area.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, I don't think that a digital assistant that is not integrated within your device is ever going to be successful. It's like Cortana won't be successful on iOS, and Google Now won't be successful on iOS or Windows Phone. So, but with that being said, Facebook does have lots more information, so maybe they can pull it off. And people
you
are
can link
on their
Cortana
Messenger
to Facebook
thing.
Already.
If you
oh, really?
Like,
yes.
What is the marketable aspect of this for Facebook?
I don't know.
It like, basically allows people to interact with Facebook and without having to press buttons and just get in quicker and get out quicker. And the upshot of that from Facebook is that they get to use your information more that way.
I'm not going to lie. From a business perspective, this seems like someone said, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Spend a bunch of money to produce program that realistically is not going to increase the ad buy purchase options for Facebook.
Yeah, it's not. But what it's going to do is, because every time you press that little like button on a website or on a post, it's building a picture about you. So what it's going to do is it's going to be able to use this personal assistant to provide that much more tailored results to you. And then maybe there will be some monetization aspect on that. I mean, partners, maybe? I don't know. But
I just feel like any kind of gathering of information that Facebook M would utilize should just simply be implemented into the basic Facebook program so that you see what content you want to see, so that they can get a little bit, just to improve the functionality of Facebook.
Yeah. And for like what it's worth, this will be integrated with Facebook Messenger.
Oh, God.
Why the oh, God?
I just, Facebook exhausts me.
I know what you mean, but I don't know. Earth, what do you think?
Use one of your rollovers and then put Facebook into it for me, Earth.
Sounds painful.
I can't use a swear word because I don't have a rollover.
Oh, okay. Earth? Yes, no, Messenger, M.
I use Messenger, M. No, I already have Cortana. Why would I want M?
Yeah, okay. And see, yeah. I think that's the thing that people are going to look at when they do this. And ultimately, I don't know.
Here's my thing. Like, we look at this, because I look at this from a business perspective, right? I want more competition, great. But let's just say that the total amount of people who use it is 3% of market share. What's the total amount of revenue off of these things? I feel like it's negligible, if anything, almost probably a loss on money, because you're not really making money on it. Cortana is a program that assists in utilization of hardware. What is Facebook doing?
They're trying to shoehorn themselves into the market.
But Cortana, it's their response to a product that Facebook doesn't provide, which is better access of use of hardware.
Well, let's look at it this way. You can message people on Facebook, which is a close analog to email. I don't know, can you have it set reminders for you on Facebook to remind you to do things?
Why would I want to do that when Cortana already reminds me to do
stuff?
I know.
Honest to God,
I feel like this is basically Mars Candy Bars announcing that they're releasing lunch meat.
That they're what?
Releasing lunch meat. Yay, we're going to have bologna available. Like, it's not a product they need to provide that they should provide. That's okay, so other people have lunch meat. Good for you. You're a candy. It's to compare Cortana, which is a hardware program that's being used for phones, etc., utilizing hardware. What exactly? It's not like there's a hardware program that Facebook. Maybe I'm just not understanding what exactly. I understand that it lets you use Facebook, but
I mean,
it seems stupid.
Here's the clincher of what they want to do, and I quote: "We start capturing all of your intent for the things you want to do. Intent often leads to buying something or to a transaction, and that's an opportunity for us to make money over time." So there you go. That's why they're doing it. And they would rather you have you stay in the Facebook app than go elsewhere to do such a thing. So there you go. That's the reason for M right there.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to move on to our last piece of tech news since we are running kind of late. And that is that on August 24th of 1995, Windows 95 was released. You guys remember Windows 95?
Yes, quite fondly.
Yeah. Was that your first Windows? Our first operating system?
Okay. Yes.
And Draz, I'm assuming
was.
No.
You were what, one?
Windows 95 was very, very persistent. I mean,
it was.
I mostly use 98, I would say, between the two, but 95 was still there.
Yep. And, I mean, Draz, I don't know about you, but what was your first operating system?
I gotta be honest, I have computers that were just awesome.
Okay.
So, but I'm not like a big computer gamer, but I... 95 is my first real use of an operating system.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. And, I mean, it was such a big leap coming from Windows 3.1. I don't know if any of you guys have ever used Windows 3.1.
I've got Windows 3.0. I'm just trying to think about, actually think back on this. It was very difficult.
Yeah. Earth, have you ever used 3.1?
I think I ran it in a VM one time, and then I gave up because it was really old.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, Windows 95 basically was the usability release, brought in the start menu, and created the Windows that we know today. Because 95 to XP, there were a couple features added here and there. The systems were made more stable, but it looked very much the same. So
yeah, I've got a computer with OS 2, which sucked.
Yeah. Yep.
You have or had?
Have.
Cool.
Not really.
Wow.
IBM computer. And then I'm trying to think of what else. I didn't even remember that far back. My dad was a big computer guy. And this is me as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, 95, I would have been 7. So.
I'd like to see a System 7 Macintosh one day.
Cool.
But. Anyway, so it's just a matter of honoring where we were 20 years ago and ultimately where we are today with Windows 10. It's definitely been an evolutionary path with some bumps along the road, but I think we've progressed for the better, haven't we?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
airplanes, and then 60 years later we landed on the moon. Can you imagine what's going to happen 40 years from now?
Yeah. And Windows 95 required 4 megs of RAM and 50 megabytes of hard drive space. Considering one of these podcasts is larger than 50 megs.
You're telling me that my pen could operate.
So. And I've also put a link in the show notes to the Start Me Up Windows 95 ad that Microsoft actually licensed a song from the Rolling Stones, believe it or not. So you can watch that. I actually remember seeing that on TV way back when.
Wow. You're old. Yeah.
Shh. I'm as old as the tree that you talked to in the quest. But
are you?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell was with? I forgot to mention that. I actually wrote that down to talk, then got distracted.
Yeah,
why was there a freaking ant?
Let's just forget that.
You should really watch my. It's going to be uploaded on YouTube at some point. You should watch my playthrough.
You really should. You really should. Because he didn't struggle all that much, but he still got infuriated at parts.
Yeah, that one got grumpy.
So whatever.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Well, shall we talk about skill of the month now?
Sure.
Well, fishing, Tim, is still in first place. Tim.
All right, I closed that tab.
7 million XP gained. Second place is Flash with 6.6, and JED Dunster 1 is still in third place with 4.6 million XP gain. So we got a two-way race going on, 4 days left. Flash might be able to beat Tim. We'll just have to wait and find out, won't we? And the skill of the month for September is going to be prayer. So if you feel like spending some money, you're welcome to sign up. I don't blame you.
800,000 XP.
Yeah, that's not going to be enough to win. Someone will get that in an hour.
Me too.
And look at here, I am just forecasting the results of September Skill of the Month. But anyways, all right. Achievements of the week. Earth, you want to run through these or should I?
Darloff got 99 cooking on August 23rd, 2015. The RR Man got 99 fletching on August 22nd, 2015. Thieves got 99 strength on August 22nd, 2015. Drezu passed Shane in total level on August 26th, 2015.
Then I passed him again.
No, you didn't.
I caught up to you.
No. Look it up.
I don't even know why you're racing. It's not like we're trying to race here.
I don't know. I needed something to do.
Okay.
It gets boring when you can't get 99s. You know how hard it is to get 98 total level, no 99s?
Yeah, but...
No 98s, really. I only got one.
What's your RuneScape name? I typed... Oh, whoops, I typed it wrong. Never mind.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, you're 2498 now. I see.
Like a boss.
All right, well, you...
I told you. You got that level, I had to go get three. I was like, seriously?
You can just keep doing that. That's perfectly fine. I know you started doing that after I mentioned the competition in that one update episode a few weeks back.
Yep.
So, that's perfectly fine. You just keep at it.
Yep, I'm going to try. There's only so many more levels I can get. At a point, it just beat me on sheer. I can't go anymore. I've got like an agility level and a couple farming levels. Couple construction levels, and then I'm gonna have to start maxing.
All right. Well, pick of the week time. Either you have one.
No, I don't.
All right then, Draz.
Not really. No.
All right. Well, I got one I can do. This is something that you guys should definitely look into if you're a mobile user at all, and that includes tablets. There's an application called Skitch, and you can get it on iOS and Android. I don't know if there's a Windows version that works, but in theory, once you can run Windows 10 applications on your Windows phone, you should be
able
to get it.
You mean Android?
Android.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Spell it.
It's called Skitch. S-K-I-T-C-H.
There's not one on the Windows Store.
All right, well, you'll have to get it from the Android store then. Ouch. Who did that? But, okay, that's enough. But, sorry about that. Skitch basically allows you to annotate photos or screenshots and whatnot. Then you can either save them to your photo stream and upload them to a service of your choice, or just keep them for later. It also allows you to annotate websites, PDFs, maps, take live photos with it as well. So it's basically an image toolkit that allows you to just mock up images as you see fit. And that's definitely something I think that you find that you'll need on a smartphone from time to time. Like, let's say you get mailed a receipt in your email. That's a PDF that you need to sign or something. You can do it with Skitch. Or let's say you want to show someone where you are. You can do that. Or you want to censor something in a screenshot, like an address. You can do that as well. So... it's basically just a small usable image editor for mobile. It's called Skitch. So find that on the App Store of your choice. Any questions about it?
Sounds magical.
I wouldn't say magical, but it's pretty good.
Sounds less than magical.
There you go. Anything else before we move on to what we've been up to?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's start with Draz, since you're the guest. What have you been up to this week?
Well, I was trying to pass you in total level. And I've been getting arrangements made because I've got a huge meeting with a bunch of Clan Quest members in real life.
Including me.
Bringing my friend Earth. I'm not really doing anything for him. He's driving himself. But I was able to get past head of local council member, or... head of low council order, Sinistral, who's still a low councilor, but he's not the head anymore. He's coming. And current high councilor, Captain of the Gray, who's one of our founders, is coming down. I'm seeing if I can get the United founder, Rarecross, to come. I'm not sure if I'll be able to get him to come or not. And high councilor, 82nd, is showing up too. So it's going to be a pretty big party. Anyway. But that's that, and I'm working, you know, flying around. Being in the airline industry and all that. Pretty boring.
All right. Mr. Earth.
Hmm?
What have you been up to?
Not much. School.
Okay.
going to meet this loser on Saturday. That's pretty much it.
All right, sounds good to me. As for me, this... Oh, sorry, go ahead, finish.
No problem. I just had to see, call me a loser. I had to say I love him too. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as you can see, that's a kind of mutual decorum that goes on between all of us here.
Mm-hmm.
So, this week I hit 89 million farming XP.
Good lord. I don't even know what my total XP is.
Approaching 90 nice and close, so yeah. That's going to be the highlight of the week. I've also been doing some thieving around RuneScape. I had the idea to maybe get 98 so I can start stealing nests from those elves, but we'll see. We'll see about that. Might need that for something in the future. But aside from that, just a couple of clue scrolls on RS. And this past weekend here, actually, we had a little RSBNB meetup. Patrick, a.k.a. King Cola, came here. He was on a little trip from the province to the left of us, BC. He was here for a while, so we did some fun stuff with him on Saturday. Me, myself, and Mike, who is the other owner of RSBNB. So, yeah, that was fun. We had our own little meetup last Saturday. So those are definitely fun to do if you can ever do that with anyone that you've met in-game that you're really good friends with, as we all are here. So that's the week.
When are you going to get your passport so you can fly down for a meeting?
Yeah, we mentioned that, but perhaps sometime in the future. We'll see. But anyways, anything else before we go?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone. This has been a somewhat longer edition of RSBNB Update than last week. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.